What's going on, everybody, man? Welcome back. It's a Friday, episode 42 of the Textual Talk. I'm back, man. Let me get some gunshots going on real quick. Listen, I don't know why the delay was going on, but listen, man. If you've been keeping up with me, you know I'm lit. I'm finna start a new job, a new spot. Look, I got TV on hold, power reruns, man. You know what I'm saying? But we gonna get an end today, man. We got a lovely guest for y'all today, man. Miss Morale. Miss, oh, I just butchered her name. I'm sorry. But she watches Miss Ramala. She is right now a Salesforce business analyst, and she also works with my tech best friend. And we gonna bring her in. We gonna, you know, we gonna get it popping. When I fuck you, I don't waste a shorty. Don't ever leave me, bitch. Sit back, relax, and push the button to start it. What's going on? What's going on? Hey. Ain't nobody else to sit in the front of. All right, let me turn this off now. All right, Tori, appreciate you, but we out of here. But yeah, it's funny. I was talking earlier and I had butchered your name by accident because I was trying to talk so fast. And to bring you back in here, but first of all, appreciate you for joining me today. If you listening right now, you know, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever, make sure you hit the heart button and give us a review, you know, so y'all can make my podcast pop. You know what I'm saying? And if you're watching on YouTube, make sure you go ahead and hit that like button for the YouTube algorithm and share it out to somebody who needs to see this, because we finna get into it, man. I think, you know, before I get into like the first question, I think I asked you about being on here like a year ago, maybe.
No. Nope. This your first time.
I know like a lot of people, like I just reached out to Premier. I don't even feel like butchering that word right now, but I'll just say prematurely. A lot of people I reached out prematurely, and in a sense, just seeing like, you know, what they up to, what they do, how comfortable are they on, you know, being on camera. Because honestly, even though this isn't live right now, like a lot of people are like terrified of this. Like,
yeah,
they're like, I don't like to speak. I'm like, hey, we can do it where we just, you know, if you don't want the video up, we can just do audio. Like, you know, I try to make it as comfortable as possible because I do understand. Like, it's a person that is, you know, talking to person. And then you, you know, who be leaving your subscribers, you know, because we be looking for that content. We're going to get into that as well. We definitely going to get into that as well. But anyways, so first things first, tell us a little bit about, you know, how did you become a Salesforce business analyst and what do they do?
So I became a Salesforce business analyst. I've been knowing about Salesforce for a long time. My boyfriend friends, like, you know, they've been telling me about Salesforce for years. So I finally took it upon myself to, you know, finally study. So I ended up getting my Salesforce admin certification. Never used Salesforce ever a day in my life outside of studying. But I got my Salesforce admin certification. And then from there, I got staffed on my first Salesforce project. And as a lead Salesforce admin, and then from there, you know, I took those skills that I learned and I was able to become a Salesforce business analyst on my other projects. So.
Nice, nice. And, you like my third like Salesforce guest, but, you know, maybe they didn't catch it the other two times. Could you explain to the people, you know, what is Salesforce and pretty much what is Salesforce aim to do with their software?
Salesforce does so much. They have so many different areas. It all just depends. But basically, it's the customer relationship management tool, CRM. So like you're basically utilizing Salesforce to just keep up with your customers, your clients. It can be used as like an application. It's so many things that Salesforce can do. It has so many different functionalities, depending on the organization and what their purpose of using it is. So.
Okay. Okay. Cool deal. Cool deal. With that being said, you know, a lot of the magic question a lot of times with us being in tech or doing anything is being visible on Twitter, YouTube, you name it. You know, the next thing people always ask, hey, do I need a degree to do Salesforce? Do I need a degree to get in cybersecurity? What level of education is required to do Salesforce?
No level of education is required to do Salesforce. Salesforce have their own platform where you can get on there. It's called Salesforce Trailhead. It's free. You just sign up with them and you can learn anything about the Salesforce CRM that you want to learn. So no level of education is required. You just have to be able to read and comprehend.
Okay. Cool deal. I hope they took that note down. Like, so I'll get into the backwards of it. It's like, you know, and we'll jump around things, but like, you know, how long did it take you to probably like land something? Like, or let me back up. Before you did Salesforce, what did you do?
Yeah, so before I realized that Salesforce is where I should be, I first started off as an IT help desk support specialist. So I was the person who was fixing the computers when people submitted tickets and stuff like that. So that's basically how I got like the groundwork of like understanding tech and stuff like that by being in my help desk role. I feel like help desk is a good role for entry level people to kind of like break into tech with.
Yeah, let's talk about, I love talking about like you know, help desk men and women, you know, everybody got their own thing. What is this one? I don't know. But anyways, like, so how long did you do help desk?
So I first started off in an internship position. I was working at a call center and I'm like, I need to get out of this. So I was on Google applying for an internship. I finally was able to get hired, get accepted into an internship. And I was in that program for about 2 years. I started like in January of 2020. And like right when the pandemic hit, my role transitioned to work from home like everybody else. And from then, you know, I was just working the tickets that way.
Nice. So, yeah, so we actually could spend this, you know, conversation a lot, because honestly, it's not even really been a full 2 years yet. How were you? That's why I guess I asked you about like how long it took you. But I'm going to say, what did you? Everybody kind of know what help desk does. So I'm saying, what were your takeaways from being a help desk agent, like over that, you know, time span? I'll go that way. And then I got a question I'm probably going to follow up with.
My takeaways would be that I feel like being able to speak that I was in help desk helped me a lot when it came to like interviewing in different roles and things like that. Like once I tell people like I was in help desk, like they already knew that I could understand like the technical aspect of things like that. So I feel like being a help desk helped leverage me get my jobs even more, if that makes sense. So
okay, yeah, and that's what I was going to ask, is like, how did you leverage those help desk skills that you learned into pivoting to a Salesforce career? Because a lot of people, like, you're as easy as it was, it's a lot of people that can't do it. Like, they've been doing help desk for 10 years, but they'd be like, man, nobody want to hire me. Nobody want to give me a chance. Like, you know, I used to run into that like all the time. And, you know, I just want to hear about, you know, your position on that. Like, how did you handle that?
Yeah, it's just all about being comfortable and uncomfortable. Because I started off in an internship, I started off in very low pay. And on top of that, I was like the only girl on my team and the only Black person on my team. And like, luckily, like my manager, he was amazing. Like if I will ever become a manager, I want to be like him. Like he was amazing. My team was great. They was very supportive. But I just knew that help desk was not for me, but it definitely helped me learn the skills. It helped me learn customer service skills. It helped me understand that people have different technical understandings with different technologies. Like it just helped me understand a lot about, you know, stepping into the tech industry in general. And I always tell people, like, you need to get cool with your IT help desk person, because like that person can help you and put you ahead of the ticket queue all the time. So we worked out of the queue. I did not get on the phone. We had a cell phone. Our company issued us like a iPhone. I think it was like a 8 or something like that. It was like an older iPhone, but I did not get on the phone. I submitted, I mean, I replied through tickets, but in Skype and Teams, that's it. I was not getting on the phone with anyone.
Okay. Did you have to, so like, for example, what I did help desk, like majority of what I did was password resets. We did set up people's like Outlook accounts, make sure they went on the wrong Exchange server. Mm-hmm. They had issues with their network drive, make sure that's the right drive is mapped. What else would we do? Make sure they had the right information. And like at this time, I don't even know Anycam is still being used, but Anycam was like a two-factor system they use. Mm-hmm. We had to make sure, like helping them out with like they had these smart cards, so PIV cards, it's almost just like having, you know, a CAT card, which I seen an article somewhere about freaking people had some CAT cards with malware loaded on them. I wish I could find it.
Really? I can believe it.
That's a good that's a good thing. What else? Oh, we helped the federal air marshals. We helped people with their air. It used to be, I was in help desk for 2 years as well. So we started off helping people with like Blackberries. So Blackberry Enterprise server. And then we moved on to Good for Enterprise. And all it is just management systems for your phones, and we would just help them. That's how they review their emails and other stuff, and that's how government pushed policies to their phone. But that was pretty much probably summed up like what we did for the most part. Mm-hmm. Did y'all do like stuff like that, or was it like a little different?
Pretty much, I think we did something like that. Password resets, onboarding users. We was like, it was like a 7-person team, so we were split up between Chicago and Austin, and like we did everything. Like I don't even know how to explain it. Password resets, fixing computers. Like our ticket queue sometimes got very overwhelming because, like, you know, it wasn't just one thing that we did. We did a lot of stuff. So it was me learning the computer inside and out. I actually built my own computer from stuff that I learned from help desk. So yeah, I kind of suck. It kind of sucked because like I was new to YouTube, so I'm like, let me just get this out there. But it was quite an experience, though. I probably won't ever build one again, but it was nice. Yeah. Mhm. Yep, exactly. No, it's dry. The tech scene is dry in Chicago. I just recently came across some people who was like starting like to do tech meetups in Chicago, but it's so dry. I'm like the only person that I know that's in tech. my boyfriend friends, like I said, they're in tech as well, but they're like on the sales side, and those his friends, you know. But other than that, like I'm like the only person. That's why like I really start reaching out to people on like Black Tech Twitter and stuff like that, just trying to build a network that way. When I first got started at help desk, because I was new, I felt like my team really didn't listen to me and didn't listen to my suggestions and things like that. So I had to like go on LinkedIn.com and like literally reach out to other Black women. Like, look, I need to build a network. I need mentors. I need somebody to talk to. I need someone to understand what I'm going through. So, you know, that's how, you know, I got involved in Black Tech Twitter as well.
Yeah. And I didn't want to ask that cliche question, but I had to ask, everybody's, you know, experience is always different. For you, being not only being Black, but then being a Black woman, you know, in tech, you said they weren't listening to you. I know you said you had a good team, but did you experience anything that actually just really pushed you on out of help desk where it's like, I gotta do something else? Like, you know, I want to like talk about like that experience part of it, you know, if you have anything to share.
Maybe just that they were going back into office. And I was like, no, I don't want to go back into office. But other than that, like my team, they were like really good. When I first started, I felt like they didn't listen to me. But like as time went on and they, you know, got to know me more, they started to take my opinions and be like, okay, and really consider them. But I really didn't see growth in the position at all. I just seen more responsibility but not really like growth, and then it's low salary, low pay, and I didn't like that. So
What was, if you know, I mean, if you care to share, like, what would they like? Because I always try to see, like, has help desk evolved over the years when I was doing it? Like, I started off at, like, at first I was on contract, I was getting like 17 hour, then they gave me like 19. So by the time I left, I think I still was like 19 some. Like, they did the cheapest way they could give me 40K, they did. And and that was years ago. And so that's why I always try to figure out, like, has it progressed or is it still around the same or?
Yeah, I think it's kind of the same. Like when I first started off in my internship, I was on a contract, so it was $17 an hour as well. And then actually, you know, I lied. I think it was $20. It was $20 an hour. And then after that, when I became a full-time employee, they moved me up to like 25 an hour. Yep.
I think about 50, 52. I think that's what that is,
Yep,
53.
50, 50, somewhere around that.
Well, that's better, you know, than what I was getting, but I think it's still, I think, I'm not gonna lie, a little bit help that sometimes in some sense seems like the fast food of IT jobs, even though it's super vital.
It's the sweatshop.
It's super vital, but it's like, I think they feel like they could train anybody. So they don't feel like it's super necessary. But honestly, when you go to certain roles, I mean, certain companies with their IT team, they are vital. And you're going to have to take care of them guys or they're going to be gone. Because, I mean, yeah, you could bring somebody in. But if the top of the top people is leaving, that's a lot of knowledge that's gone.
Yep,
So I
exactly.
think it's like hand in hand with how they handle it. I mean, I'm always advocating for them to pay, you know, those people more. So I probably advise people to do help that's like at a company that's going to pay, you know, a better range. Like you said, at least you didn't have to talk on the phone. Like
Yeah,
for
I got
me,
lucky. I
like
got lucky.
those phone calls, like, you know, started running together to where I didn't want to be on the phone when I got off work.
Yeah, that's how it was. Exactly. So when things got slow, it was like, oh, let me just kick my feet up. And then like also, this is something that stuck out to me too. I didn't have my picture on Teams, so like people just knew that they were just talking to Ramallah, right? So people will often say, "Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot, sir. Enjoy the rest of your day." So like they just assume that I was a guy. That's what I'm saying, but I think it used to be funny to me. At first, I used to be like, I used to correct them like, ma'am, but afterwards, I'm just like, whatever, y'all can have it. I want to get off this session with y'all. So.
That's, man, I ain't gonna lie. I used to be tough. Like, somebody call in, don't know how to use a computer at all. I used to have patience to say, hey, click that Windows button. I need you to do this. So I can get so I can remote in. Because I just try to remote in sometimes because I ain't have time to do that because it used to be hard. They, what's the internet browser? I was like, oh my gosh, bro.
They used to want
They
you to
used to
think
want you
for
to
them,
think
or that's the
me on the
Literally,
phone.
literally.
Or I just go on mute while they just talking. I'm like, are you done?
Sorry, you had
Shoot, I used to
sorry
make the
you
15 minutes little stretch. I mean, it was a, so here's the thing, right? Just like you learned from help desk, I did. I learned a lot far as soft skills wise. Like, I know in the business setting how to perceive somebody's temperament. Like, you know, learning how to do that over the phone is actually a skill to where you can de-escalate somebody being upset and fix it because they're not really mad at me. They're just mad at what they called in ain't working. Like, that was something we did in one of my like last team meetings I had, even though I've been checked out, mentally checked out of that company. But we was giving feedback to one of our coworkers who, you know, I'm not gonna lie, like she didn't see it. She's one of the people that will just stand 10 toes down on like what she meant to do and not understanding how it came out to others. Like, you know, we were telling her, like, hey, it felt like you were trying to throw us under the bus so you can look good on a day you wasn't even on call. And they was like, well, no, that's not what I mean. I was like, whatever. But in that moment, with my feedback, I could have decided to go hard, but I wrapped it in a way that made it be more constructive. Now, my coworker, that's the woman who's also Black, I sensed her finna cut up, but she was catching herself. She was catching her tongue because she was like, because at the end of the day, it affects her the most because she's still going to beat her. Mm-hmm. And we was talking a little bit about that today because I ain't going to lie. Listen, if you watching this podcast, you know, Black people going Black people because instead of taking like vacation time, I'm just using my sick time.
Because you get paid from the PTO days, them sick days. Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, I've been doing some crazy stuff. Like, I hope they skip over this part. Like, the other day, I was here to work. Because, look, no cap. Like, and I might make this like a short. Like, I've never did this before, but I moved farther away from work. And if I don't leave at a certain time, I'm stuck like on the highway for a while going into work. And I was in traffic so long, I started getting sleepy. So I pulled off on the exit of like one of the malls I used to go to. I was in an area, I had to pass the area I used to stay in. So I just pulled over and went, like, took a car nap, you know what I'm saying, about 40 minutes.
Wow.
Got up and then went into work. I said, I ain't never did that before. But mm-hmm. at the same time, I put my resignation like 2 weeks ago. I was like, I don't know why they even still have me at work because I ain't been doing no work.
Wait, didn't you just get a job? Is this another one?
Nah, so I've only been at Goldman Sachs, I think, 6 months.
Okay.
So because this is the one I'm quitting Goldman Sachs.
I remember not too long ago you were saying that like you were putting in your 2 weeks somewhere else. Mm.
Yeah, I put in that 2 weeks. I put it in time I got the emails at the background cleared, mm-hmm. sent it to him. So yeah, I mean, I'm not normally a job hopper, but in this case, I had to because, you know, they had the game messed up.
Yeah, one thing about me, I'm a hop some jobs.
Well, I mean, I would advise you to, you know, you're young.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would advise that for me, it really just depends. Now, I don't hop because of money because now I get, you know, opportunities outside of work that bring me money. So now it's just more so about skill set. Now it's more so about what I learned here to piece it together. Cause I was telling somebody, it's like, I'm taking like all the knowledge I have to where I'm just going to be like director level whenever I feel like I want to be a director, to where they can say, oh, okay, this dude has did, you know, everything from, you know, being regular SOC lead threat analyst. He done did, you know, incident management. He done did this here. I mean, he got all the experience. So that's for me. I ain't gonna never tell nobody not chase the money because if the price is right, you know, I'll go too. But I'm just saying, just in general.
Yeah, I'm chasing the money and the work life balance because I can't.
Oh, definitely.
I can't stand a micromanaging manager. I don't care how good the money is. I'm gone.
At least you got a manager that manages. That's the thing. You're early on into your career. You're finna like experience a whole bunch of different people. So you're gonna know who a good manager and who's not. So I definitely know who good, who not. Oh, this person's only good at like lip service, but other than the other stuff, they're not good. You know, it's just a mess. And you're at a company that, you know, it's pretty much have a good name. And for the most part, I haven't heard anything bad about them.
Yeah, no, you know, they did a lot of good.
And I know I did a lot of hiring around like this pandemic time. So I think it was like perfect, you know, to where you didn't right away time, you know, being on a help desk.
Yep.
But we're gonna segue back into I did ask you about how you leverage those skills to do Salesforce. And I'm kind of making this a little bit like an interview because I'm trying to test out different techniques with the people, but like for those that want to know, I know you already talked about a BA, but for being a Salesforce business analyst, how, if you had to put the percentages into being technical and non-technical, what's the ratio? Like, what's the percentage of how technical do you have to be, like, to be a Salesforce business analyst?
I would say about 45%. Like, you may be in a call with a client and they may be like, is a CRM capable of doing this? You need to know if the CRM is capable of doing it, but you can still tell them like, hey, you know, I believe so, but I can double check and get back with you and ask the developers. So that's why I say about 45% technical, because you can always go back and double check with the developers. So,
okay, nice. And then next one, you know, tell us about your day to day.
So I just really started as a Salesforce business analyst, but I've been a business analyst like twice before. So my day to day on this project, since I just started, it's been just meetings. I will say Tuesdays and Thursdays probably are like my busiest days, where I'm in meetings from probably 9 a.m. to maybe 1 p.m. Back to back to back to back. But other than that, my day is pretty peaceful. And right now, like, I'm getting to the point where I'm taking notes during the meeting. So I'm like, I'm capturing requirements from stakeholders, things like that. So it's pretty easy for now, but I'm still new. I think in like 2 weeks, I'm going to be leading our stand up now with like our developers and our testers and things like that. So kind of nervous, but kind of looking forward to it. So.
Yeah, you got this. You know, man, when you start working, you be, I'm not going to lie, man, I used to go to different companies like, this place still running? That's how I be feeling when I go to places. Like, I think one of the things I retweeted one time is like, you know, the security is held up by like, you know, bubble gum and scotch tape. Like, job security for a reason. Because if it's too perfect, they wouldn't need nobody.
Yeah.
that's how I feel about it. So I know, and we'll go back into this just a little bit. You talked about LinkedIn and you talked about trying to get a network. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about how essential it is for someone young in their career to build a network. And not only to build a network, how essential is it for you to build a network of people that look like you?
It's very important. So when I first got, how I even got started into tech, my uncle introduced me. He's been in IT for decades. And so besides him, he was like, he was the only person I knew that was in IT at all. So when I started my internship and I'm working with all men and they're a different race than me, and like I said, I feel like they wasn't really listening, I'm like, okay, I need to find someone else that I can relate to. So I instantly got on like LinkedIn, and I just started finding like Black women, and I'm reaching out to them like, hey, can you be my mentor? I need a mentor. And they're like, yeah, sure, I can be your mentor. Now like, not everyone followed up, but like, you know, I do have one mentor who kind of like stuck out with me. She helped me get into like, you know, my current company, like helped me with my interview process. You know, she's at another company now, but she's like, whenever I'm ready to come over that way, just let her know. So like, it's very important to like build your network. And then I went on to Twitter because I'm like, okay, LinkedIn is the more corporate, formal type of thing. I need to see some more people that's like around my age that I can kind of like relate to. So I found Black Tech Twitter. I don't remember how I found it. I think I just literally Twitter searched like Black Tech or something like that. And like the Black Tech bot like retweeted me or something. And like I was able to just find like, you know, a lot of Black people that were like in tech. And it was good. Like, I'm like, okay, wait, this is like a whole community that I didn't know existed. But a lot of these people were like in the DMV area, you know, like on that side of the United States. And I'm like, dang, no one is in Chicago. So, but yeah, it's very important to build that community. Because like now, if I'm going through something, I can just tweet it. And like a lot of people, you know, will tweet me back, be like, you know, I can relate to you. Or I know, you know, some people that I can just reach out to and just be like, hey, I'm going through this. Like, even with you, I think when I was trying to get my cybersecurity job one time, like, and I was asking you, like, do you know about this position? What you think about that? Like, you were giving me kind of some advice on that as well. So like, it felt good to have someone that I could kind of just go to, you know, and ask those questions. So it's important to build your network.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm just happy, like, you all don't have to be like me trying to break in 2013, because, mm-hmm. you know, this didn't exist. Wow. It was try to go get Sec Plus and CEH and hope it stick, which, you know, was horrible, you know, making it harder on yourself, paying for a cert that's, you know, expensive and really don't mean nothing. Like, I'm
yeah.
Like,
okay.
All right. That's me. When they talk about the CEH, I'll be ready to fight every time.
Look, I took the A plus and I failed, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to leave CompTIA exactly where it is. Like,
yeah, I think that's one of the things, like CompTIA, like they word the question in a way where you have to be sure of the best answer out of the answer choices. Because your answer could technically not be wrong, but it's not the best answer that CompTIA wants.
Yep.
And, you know, that's the whole thing. I know when I got that Sec Plus years ago, I messed up on like all the simulation parts because at the time when you used to get a Sec Plus study guide, it came with like a disc for your laptop. Well, at the time, my laptop, for whatever reason, the disc and stuff wouldn't work. So I was not able to do the labs. But I knew everything else so well that I aced that. So I was able to pass like that. And, you know, that's how I ended up, like, started doing, I got that cert right before, like, my last quarter of undergrad. So I just thought, like, I know I'm going to get something. But, you know, my approach to getting the job and stuff was wrong. I had, like, two people, funny enough, and I need to bring him on, though, because he's been working at, am I allowed to say your company or what?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Oh. Well, No, I respect that policy. That's why I just, you know, said
it. No, thank you.
Yeah, if I would have said it, I just would have went and found like that little dolphin noise on SpongeBob and threw it over there. But now one of the guys I know, like my cousin went to school with him in high school, and he tried to help me out. He referred me to some jobs at your company years ago and never really stuck. And I think it's just because, like, I made that resume video not too long ago. It's just like, I'm seeing why I was having issues. I couldn't see it then. I just thought, you know, I got this cert and I'm finna be out of school. Like, you know, why are people playing on my top like that?
Yep.
And it's not stuff they really, that'd be my whole gripe about, you know, school is like, you know, a lot of the professors not being honest. It's like, you got us doing all these, you know, quizzes and all the stupid stuff, but you're not telling us that these companies out here, unless it's like they got some type of program for new grads and they want you to come out of school.
But that's a good way to go, though. That's definitely a good way to go. That I feel like it's overlooked a lot.
Yeah, and that's why I tell people to look for rotational programs. I remember like one of my second episodes, my friend Sherry was on here. She did the rotational program for Dell, and she's been at Dell for a while. But unless they're doing that, it's like, nobody really caring because they want to know what can you do, you know. Bad, like, nobody, like, first of all, I have a little brother right now. Shout out to Darren. He just graduated Wednesday, and we celebrating that tomorrow. But he's about to go to school. And I said, okay, if you going to go against me, because I really don't want him to go to – he want to go to a school. I did undergrad and major in what I did. Mm-hmm. I was advocating for, hey, go do community college because them classes they have – classes that's going to actually get you the certifications.
Yeah.
And you can always go back to the other school if you want to. But I'm trying to make the best route for you. But since he don't want to listen that way, I said, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask him, if you want to be serious about this, you want my help. This summer, you need to get the certified cloud practitioner. Mm-hmm. So that's the cert I want him to get. Because I was like, my goal is your first year, our goal is to get you an internship. To where now, either you do so good at the internship that they ask you to come back, or you get a full-time job where you can do school at your own discretion. Like, that's the goal. I'm not trying to have people go through school 3 or 4 years for no reason, then be at the end saying, I need some help. And, you know, if you're a college, I mean, think about going to college, are you in college now, you know, watching this, like, try to get an internship, apply everywhere.
Yep.
Most of these places let you be remote now, so try, because that's going to be your equalizer, because it's so hard for y'all to do the projects. A lot of y'all, I mean, you're in college, so some of y'all don't have the extra money to pay for, like, you know, a wonderful cohort like my tech best friend. Or, you know, come to me, or some of the stuff I have in the works as well about getting people into cybersecurity. But so that's why I would advise, like, because I've rarely seen somebody outside of college get a internship. It's rare, but it could possibly happen. But get those internships.
I know that people emphasize, like, you don't need a degree to get into tech, And I absolutely agree with that. But if you do go the school route, like I just want to reiterate that, like definitely look into those internships, apprenticeships, new grad programs, because like that'll definitely get your foot in the door and get you to where you need to be. Absolutely, I agree. And they have a lot of good jobs. I'm still trying to wonder, like, dang, do I qualify for a new grad? Because there's some jobs out there that I want. So, yeah.
Works there though, so I
Yeah,
mean,
yeah.
you know how that goes. And I'm gonna go right back into LinkedIn really quick. Did you use LinkedIn to get this role, or was it more so your mentor really helped you a lot? But I mean, granted, technically, I guess you could say you use LinkedIn because like you use it to find your network. But I'll step back and say, let me see. Did you actually do a job search, or was it only this role that you were interested in? That's what I want to say. That's what I do.
So after I graduated, I got my resume revamped by my tech best friend. With my resume, I wasn't getting any jobs like the one that I did. So when I went in and got my resume revamped and I was able to put those skills on like LinkedIn and stuff like that, the jobs started coming into my inbox. And they started sliding in my DMs. And so that's how I was able to get like my cybersecurity vulnerability job. It was like a new grad job. So they came into my DMs that way. And then my other job, I applied to them. I applied to it and I got accepted into I think it was kind of considered a new grad program as well, because a lot of college students was in that program with me. So I think that's how I was able to get accepted that way. So, but resume is definitely everything, because the resume that I was applying with that I did, it sucked.
If we had time, I'll tell you to pull it
Exactly. Me of level English.
Oh man. But I didn't know you had so let's spin the block. What about this vulnerability role? Like, you know, because I didn't know you did that, but like I have a friend who's been doing like help desk admin stuff like wow, whatever, right? And you know, me and him talk back and forth, and he's always talking about, oh, they ain't biting this and that. And I'm like, I know they. Every time I say, he say they not biting, and I say, I know they not. Why they not biting? We almost end up getting into an argument, and that's because you know I did his resume. I mean, it made it look nice, but it's only so much I can do without other stuff you need to add to it. And I'm not gonna just add stuff for the sake of you adding it because it ain't gonna benefit you none. But I tell a lot of people, hey, if you help that system admin, a lot of times you've been doing vulnerability management. Like you could, you know, tweak your resume and say you was doing vulnerability management and just go get you a vulnerability management role where you really focusing on that. And nine times ten, you're making more money and less stress. Can you briefly talk about that?
Yeah, so in my vulnerability role, I wore a lot of many different hats in this role. So not only did I just like, work on vulnerabilities within a company, I was also kind of like a project manager as well, or a business analyst. I was talking to different projects every day, just assessing the applications that they were using, just trying to see, where would there be any vulnerabilities, like things like that. It was like a lot with that role. But I feel like I always tell people, I think that healthcare is kind of a little bit more easier to get into as far as like cybersecurity, because like they absolutely need all the cybersecurity that they can get. So I always tell people healthcare is a good way to go if you're trying to get into cybersecurity, because they need all the cybersecurity they can get as far as that. So.
Yeah, because briefly, and shoot, it's old now, but when I was doing the two job thing, doing COVID, my second role was like being a lead at a SOC that had a specific contract with a company that did healthcare stuff. I don't know what exactly they did. I ain't gonna say too much about their name, but that's what they did. And I was like, man, this sim environment is a mess. But they were pretty much moving into Phantom. And at the time, I had a lot of Phantom experience, and they brought me in just for my experience. And Hey, listen, I was talking to one of dudes that still worked there now. I was like, bro, if I know what I know now, I probably would have never quit. I probably would have just did that job to like the end of like something. Yeah, it was, look, easy bread. Not doing, at the way I used to look, just get on there, make sure the meetings, and I wasn't doing it. I was playing the game.
Wow.
Like easy money. Mm-hmm. And this is a, you know, so that's one of the ways. And, you know, when you see on Twitter about these people making like all this money, it's because that's, a lot of them got multiple easy six-figure roles.
Yep.
But the people that's on the outside looking in don't know that you got to technically work your way up.
Definitely.
Before you can get those roles that don't require that much out of you. Mm-hmm. So that's a thing that I always tell people. I say, if you're going to do it, you need to make sure you can handle that. Because you can't be messing up in both. You got to pick one.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's kind of where I am too. Like my job right now, like it's easy. Like I don't really have to do much right now, but I'm starting to want to get more involved in work now. Like, cause I feel like I'm cheating myself out of experience and skills just by like coasting. So I'm trying to get more involved now. And like, even now I'm working on another Salesforce certification. Like I'm trying to be like the Salesforce expert because that's like where the bag is too. So I'm like, you know, constantly just sharpening up on my skills and stuff like that. So.
I heard that walking hard in the background. I'm like, really? But yeah, and that's the thing. So like, okay, I remember you did briefly give us like a range for the help desk role, because we'll talk about this in a second. Could you give us a range, like if somebody was going to be a Salesforce business? Because a lot of my episodes, I forget to ask this because I know people really care about this. Mm-hmm. And I forget to ask it. And it don't be, it really, because I really don't care what people get paid, really. I mean, But I always tell people when they're doing that research, it's kind of like do their research, right? Mm-hmm. But what range do people expect for like entry-level Salesforce business analysts?
I would say on a low spectrum, maybe 60K on a low spectrum. But between 60 and 80K for like entry level, anything more than that, they love you. That company loves you for entry level.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Okay. No, because what I was going to say is the fact that a lot of people will say, oh, like, for example, I was just talking about the easy money, right, with the job. In this situation, it could have been the same thing, but it's like I was telling you and saying earlier, like I'm taking all this stuff to learn. So me just sitting around not doing nothing don't benefit me in the long run. It benefits me right now. So a lot of people think about right now. They don't think about 2027, 2030, what you're going to try to be doing then. And because you ain't did shit for like the last 5-7 years, it's the same thing. Learn no new skills, no nothing, but just been getting a check, you know. You don't know nothing. Now you're trying to move around. It's hard.
You need to drop from that because that's some real stuff right there, because people need to hear that.
Like, for real, like, if you're going to do that, let your second job be that I'm just going to get an easy check job. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, whatever y'all talking about. Hey, what my woman say on Everybody Hates Chris? I don't need this. My man got two jobs.
Two jobs.
Like, shoot, you can say, man, hey, you can quit one of them things, but I don't need this. I got two jobs.
Yeah.
But nah, for real, like, that's the goal. Is like, I remember on one of my podcasts, I was saying how I'm not mad at the, you know, white people or whatever, like. Like normally, and one of the things is like free game for people listening. How I assess companies is when I step in and I meet everybody, I start seeing who look like me at the top. Cause then that started letting me know where my ceiling is at the company. But at the same time, I'm not even mad at that. I was like, only reason why a lot of us aren't at the top is because they were in the market first and just started hiring their friends. Like when you start working a lot, and the longer you work, you're going to start seeing like a lot of these names are the same. And this person that worked at this company for 20 years and they've been friends and they just brought this person over. Because at some point, it's really no reason to like have a technical interview. Like I can't tell you the last time I had last time I had a really technical interview was late 2020. Or it might have been 2021. Mm-hmm. That's probably like last time. Other than that, everything's been more so more of my soft skills, like how I'm going to handle my team and this and that. Like, even with the job, you know, I just accepted. Like, Buddy told me at the end of the interview, say, hey, man, just be transparent with you. We're going to offer you today. You're going to be hearing from HR.
Right
there,
they told you, right on the spot.
He was like, you're going to hear from HR probably like on Wednesday. HR hit me up the same day. Like, I signed the, I interviewed on a, let me see, I moved on April 29th. So I interviewed, I think it was like the 25th, mm-hmm. April 25th or whatever. If I think that was a Monday. Talked to HR that day. We negotiated. By Thursday, I had signed an offer letter. By Thursday night, they were starting like the background check stuff.
They play no game.
Right. I mean, because, I mean, they really needed somebody. And I knew that I had a, I think I probably knew I already had the job because like the, my future manager hit me up on Good Friday. He called me on Good Friday. And I honestly, and I didn't even really, when I applied to this role, I really didn't expect nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't reach out to nobody. No, I lied. I did reach out to a recruiter, but it was some dude that just started, so he didn't help me. So technically, I didn't really reach out to anybody. And they had seen my profile and called me. But I was also, like I just put in my video, like I was in this running for this Liberty Mutual role. And that role, mm-hmm. that was some big money right there. But they just took so, I don't know why, like I already knew the director liked me because my friend, she pretty much told me about the position that wasn't even posted yet. And he said, he loved your resume. They're going to send you over to Rick so you can apply. Mm-hmm. So it took about a week and a half for them to finally get back to me. So I'm like, I don't know what y'all are thinking in this market. Like, you taking too long. I was like, I couldn't spend another day driving to work just off the, you know, possibility of landing that role. Like, I could have said, I ain't going to go with this role and then try to do the other one. But the opportunity cost is potentially they don't pick me, even though the upside is like to make more money. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know,
yeah,
I canceled like a lot of interviews like that. I told people, I said, hey, you know, I already accepted a role. You know, since something changed, I reach back out to y'all. Because Dropbox did the same thing.
Have you done that? Have you like reached back out to a role? Like, hey, is it still available? After you already told them you got something else?
Yeah, so when I was, back when I decided to spend the block on auto recruiters in my inbox, I seen, I looked at Xerox was reaching out to me and I hit the lady up, say, you know, y'all still hiring for this? She said, yeah, I applied. I didn't end up getting that one. I don't know what they really were looking for. I guess I want to get fit. But yeah, I mean, I spend all the time. I always like add the recruiters back and talk back to them. And, or I sometimes say like, oh, I know somebody who would be good at this role. Mm-hmm. And I try to find somebody. And that way we just keep some type of bond and where we, you know, we talk. Like even, and I hate to reach back out to the Amazon recruiter too. Like Amazon, that was like one and done. But I already knew at the beginning, I said, I'm not finna go through a long process with nobody. I don't care who you is. Mm-hmm. Like I need to be.
What's your cutoff limit for interviews? Like,
maybe three. Really, no more than two. Honestly, it should really be only a screening. I talk to the hiring manager, talk to the team. That's all you need. Mm-hmm. Honestly, like, I don't need to talk to everybody else. Like, I don't care.
You want you to talk to the COO, the CFO, the janitor. Like, don't nobody got time for that. Just let me know if I got it or not.
I wish I had that sound that say, yep, that'll do it.
You ain't got to worry about me, for real.
You put that on there. Yeah. I was trying to, right before you joined, I was trying to take that sound bite from Drake's song, No Friends in the Industry, when the man said, I've been doing this for a long time. So I can have that as a drop. So
you should definitely get
looking
that.
Out for that drop. But so now the fun stuff, the little bit of, you know, a little bit of spicy talk. We talked about tech Twitter. You know, I always bring everybody that's on Twitter about Twitter. And I think earlier you said somebody, you had like a little toxic tech take that you wanted to bring up. You know, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the reason why tech Twitter is so toxic is because a lot of people make tech their identity. And I think that's the problem. So, of course, like when people start, you know, stepping into the same roles as them, doing the same thing as them, they feel offended. They feel some type of way. But that's because they have made it as if they're the only person that can do that. A lot of people around them are used to being, well, a lot of them are used to being like the unicorn. You know what I'm trying to say? Like the unicorn around their their friend circle or their group and stuff like that. So that's just how I feel about it. Like, people need lives outside of tech. Like, this is what we're using to pay our bills. Find you a hobby. Find you something else that describes who you are, not a corporate job.
I will say, like, depending on what you do in tech, I think sometimes it's a little bit hard to turn on or turn off, because sometimes your work don't really end. Like, some jobs you can close your shit and you can go on about your day, and some it just got Teams on your phone, all this other crap is going on, and you got to do that crap, and you're like, bro, like, I muted them other emails from old company guys, like, I don't care what y'all say, no, like, I get it when I get it. If you really need me, you got my number. But yeah, I mean, so here's the thing, like, you know, and I'm doing the parallels of the tech stuff, but like, I'm on YouTube, right? So I don't know who all you subscribe to on YouTube, but over these last 2 years, there's been a lot of, like, you know, lame people that got cameras and decided they were, you know, were somebody, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing you see with, like, some of the tech bros or even some of the girls. It's like, you know,
the girls,
people,
the girls terrible.
Very terrible. They way worse than us. I say every time, y'all want to usurp the man and be like the man, but y'all don't really want to be the men. It's just lip service. Y'all don't really want to, because I see a lot of y'all saying, I really want to be a housewife.
It'd be funny to be honest. Not me. I want my own money. I don't want to be no housewife. But I don't. Family
and stuff like that. You're going to love, like, man, my little girl's like two, and then my other baby girl, Zelly, is like, I put her on a story by accident today, because I normally just put it in, like, close friends, just because of, I don't like people having that much access to me.
Oh, yes, sir. But, yes, sir. She's so cute.
Yeah, she's about to be 8 months, but they grow so fast. Mm-hmm, so that's really, like, the whole thing about it. That's why I say you probably want to stay at home for a while.
I mean, like, when I get to that point, though, but if I retire, I want to retire myself. Like, I don't want to retire off of my man money, like, because a man can leave. Like, I want my own money. Like, when I have kids, I want to have kids because I want to have kids. And I know that my kid's going to be straight off of me, you know, not off of what their dad has.
Well, see, I'm not gonna start this into, like, a therapy session or anything like that, because I know, like, most good men, and the term "good" is subjective, but he's not gonna, like, try to leave a woman with nothing. Like, if anything, he'll try to put her in position to where, you know, at least she could be straight if they ever decide to move. Like, it don't have to be on no stupid stuff. Like, I'm gonna show you if you're good at this, I'm gonna show you how to start this business, or look, you good at makeup, make your makeup YouTube channel, you know, because honestly, if you just vlogged all the time and did a little tech stuff, like, you'd probably just be on top. Like, people love women, like, on YouTube. But back to what I was saying about, like, what I see with the tech people is, like, a lot of them are nobody. And they get on there and just say dumb stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. Especially people that don't look like us. So I'm always, you know me, I'd be like the first one in when they mess with y'all. Like, when I am on Twitter, but it's the reason why I don't be on there as much, because it just be so time consuming. But if I parallel that with the people on YouTube, it's like, it'd be the same guys who I know for a fact don't get women, be giving advice about women. I'm just like, bro.
Really? I don't see them. I be more on Twitter. So I see it more on Twitter than I do on YouTube.
You don't want to. It's a waste of time. Like, but that's what I saw, is like, you know, I get it. You know, now you could, for your whole life, you've been, you know, just a lame person. Now you got a job and, oh, I'm this and that.
Yep. And then all it takes is a few subscribers, a few viral tweets, and now they got clout. And now this is the most attention that they ever had in their whole entire life. And they just taking it and run with it. Like, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to even use this segment to get on. like for me, I, like, if I'm gonna reach out to people in good faith, and if I feel like I reach out to you for no reason, I'm gonna feel away, because I really don't solicit free advice to people, right? Especially if I want to see you win, you know. But to see somebody really not take advice, like, I got, I probably can send it to you afterwards. I posted it one day. No, I didn't. I think I posted that close friends, whatever. I'll add you to that. Mm-hmm. But it's a dude who be up under every recruiter post And they always talk about a different type of job skill, and this dude know how to do it. I'm like, fam, there's no way you know how to do all this stuff.
He's just trying to get hired.
And that don't work. I'm like, that's why you keep getting laid off. Because you keep on acting like you, like, stick to something and do it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That type of stuff. If I'm trying to help you out on that part, I'm coming from a person who's been laid off, and I'm just like, hey, you know, just take being laid off, and, you know, take it on the chin, hold that L, and bounce back. You ain't gotta make no post about saying, oh, I was laid off today. Like, who cares, bro?
I've seen a lot of those on LinkedIn lately.
Well, it's two ways. So, right? Some of the people is different because circumstances, reorging, trying to save money, them different layoffs. Mm-hmm. But you want to say, oh, I was just laid off suddenly for no reason and blah, blah, blah. It's not no reason. Like, you have a trend of being laid off. So people can go to your page and start seeing you did this.
Wow.
Instead of just, you know, relaxing, mm-hmm. don't lie. If you interview real good, just saying you like principal senior level, but then can't do the work. Mm-hmm. You know, one of my friends will tell me about somebody like that today. Like, and that's another thing that's been going on. It's like two people been interviewing, an expert and then the person to actually get the job. And that's the scary part. And then the busters that's making it hard for like people to be remote. Cause it's like, why? Like, why well, mess it up for everybody else? They don't know how to do it.
Mm. Okay.
That happened in my old company. They fired a dude for that. And they finna fire a dude at this other company that I used to work at for the same thing. It's like, man, this dude don't even know how to use the computer. How they hired him? He lied and said he had the CISSP and he don't even have it.
Wow. I thought jobs be checking and stuff for those certifications. So you could just put on your resume, oh, I got this certification in.
Company, like I ain't gonna lie, Goldman Sachs, that it felt like I was getting another security clearance. Mm. And it took around the same amount of time it took to get my security clearance for me to start at Goldman Sachs.
Oh wow. Okay.
But yeah, but now we got like two sections to cover, right? Mm-hmm. We can briefly talk about, you know, I've already had Mary on the show, you know, your leader. But briefly,
my leader. That's my girl. She is my leader.
I just feel like that's how I know y'all feel about, you know, my tech best friend, because it's a lot of, and like and we talked about earlier, it's more women that's detractors or trying to be detractors, not knowing that actually every time they do that dumb stuff, it actually make my tech best friend more popular.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you would think the people would stop that they, every other week they see somebody, you know, doing a good success story. Like, I got success with my tech best friend, this and this and this, these testimonials, right? So you would think it would behoove them to like just stop being shady. And instead they keep on at it because, you know, they're just mad. They probably didn't get into the cohort. Or they just want everything to be free. They want people to spend their time putting together resources, teaching people, you know, for free. Where you ain't never went and told the people at Yale, Harvard, you know, whatever state you in, like LSU, hey, you know, all these classes should be free. You ain't never tell them professors they should work for free.
Exactly.
But yet somebody else trying to give you something that's more beneficial, that's, you know, pretty much niche down, is going to help you, you know, secure a job faster, mm-hmm. it should be free. It should be $20,000 over going to school. School to one, it should be $4,000, you know, if you want to ask me. But I just don't understand that point and how they keep on doing that. It's like, you know, everybody else, you know, they're laughing because it's, I hate to say it, y'all, but look.
Today I got time, cuz.
It be your own people.
It does.
It be your own people trying to bring your ship down.
Yep.
And that ain't right. Like, but we're not going to talk about the detractors. I just want you to briefly talk about, like you said, you went through my tech best friend, and I believe you also are like an advisor with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just want you to briefly talk about, like, you know, my tech best friend, and then, you know, what do you do as an advisor, and how people can actually, you know, getting the waiting line like Jordan's for, you know.
It is like Jordan's. I seen someone like, can I sell my kidney? But yeah, so basically just like with my tech best friend, I wish this was something that I had when I first started in tech, like as far as like the software, it's like you said, it's very niche down. And with me being, you know, working at a tech consulting company, I'm seeing like these are in demand skills that people really are looking for. Companies are looking for these in demand skills that my tech best friend is like teaching students. So yes, you can go learn it for free, but it's going to take you twice as long to learn that stuff versus like having access to instructor, having access to a network. You already have a network. You don't even have to go search for a network. Once you enroll in this bootcamp or enroll in a community, you already have a network right at your fingertips. But yeah, like my tech best friend basically is a great academy for anyone that's trying to break into tech. And as a career strategist, one of the things that I do is, you know, someone schedule a call if they're interested in learning more about tech and they want to know what role best fits them. We go through numerous of different roles based off of, you know, the person's background, their personality type and their career goals. And we just try to figure out what role is best for them based off all of that and what bootcamp fits them. So far, I've met a lot of great people, a lot of great people that I know will probably do well in this tech industry. And
dope. I definitely use that a little bit too in my consultations, just talking to people and based off their previous experiences. So you'd be good in this and that. Like I have a client right now who's a branch manager, like at a credit union, and she's in the I think she's going through Full Stack Academy to be in they're pretty much breaking the cybersecurity. I was like, I asked her about audits because I stopped thinking about GRC. And she was like, yeah, I conducted all the audits. I said, you already got audit experience. I was like, let's look at this CISA, you know, get that, combine what you're learning, and you should be good. You don't have to start at the bottom of the barrel. You know, people telling you to go to help desk. Because I had met with a guy one time that was an accountant. And somebody told him to go do help desk because he didn't want to do accounting no more. I was like, bro, you could have just went and been an auditor in IT. Like, you know, and that's I think I saw Mary talk about this. Like a lot of the roles that people do also got like their own tech version. And the only thing you got to do is really just more so be experienced with naming conventions and other things with tech. Like when we were talking to my client, I was just telling her, hey, you know, you're probably going to have to learn about like NIST and like, SOX and all these different type of frameworks. Learn one or two. And I think like shout out to my AJ Young, like the best CEO in the world. He was telling people like, you know, get a cloud cert and then really learn one framework. Like you just niche down into it. Like if you don't know nothing else, know this cloud stuff and NIST and you can at least break in and then you can go on like that. So that's
A lot of people be having transferable skills and they don't even know it. Like, it's crazy. Once they tell me like, yeah, I do this already at work, it's just like a light bulb goes off. Like, dude, you already halfway there.
Right. And that's the thing, like, and what I don't like, reason why, like, you know, I'm real, like, I like doing it, like, especially like the coaching aspect of it. It's like, I think coming from me now, like a vet, and then I'm telling a person who thinks they like so far away. I'm like, bro, this is the finish line. Like, you're right here.
Yeah.
And so when they hear that from me, it energizes them because I had a guy like the one I've been posting on my stories, he'd been getting severely underpaid. I'm like, bro, you've been doing security analyst work the last 2 years. So when I took that resume and sent it to like one of the jobs he wanted, I tailored it right after, like, you know, they set an interview up with him. And I know he's going to pass that with flying colors. Like, you've been doing more than a lot of people, you know, who in the industry already. I was like, you know what I'm saying? And then that's why I don't like, that's why I tell people, I don't care nothing about no companies. Like, don't respect none of them. Because they ain't going to look out for you like you're going to look out for yourself.
Yep.
Because they underpaying that man severe. They know what they doing, too, when they underpaying this man. And they just did some, like, you know, low down stuff to him a couple of days ago. So I really been trying to use, you know, my powers like to help. And that's another thing too that I meant to probably put on Twitter. I probably like put on there. I was like, I get it. You know, you may not want to pay, you know, my money, which my price is going to go up like every year. But not only do you get expertise help out of me and then out of y'all, but once you pay, like you're in my network. So even if you're not an active client at the time, if I know you're still looking, I need some help, I tell people all the time, hey, you know, hire this dude. I've been working with him. I worked with him like 6 months. He's good.
Yep.
And that's what I did today when I was talking to somebody like on their behalf. And sometimes they know it and sometimes they don't know it. And I was like, so, you know, you can't really get that anywhere else. Like I talk about in my book about like how most jobs, you know, are like pretty much like internal or networking. Like they never get posted. Either they get somebody that they already know or somebody at another company say, I know he can do this. You know, bring him on. It's like that. Mm-hmm. So that's why, you know, you got to even the playing field. So sometimes, you know, as DeJuan Lightfoot said, it ain't what you know.
For real, your network is your net worth sometimes. That's so true. Like, that's good.
But the last part we're going to talk about, though, is, you know, the good old YouTube that you know, you've been forsaken. You know, I hit you with the bow times. Like, dang.
You
like,
definitely did.
My street's been waiting. Like, you know, because I'm not going to lie, like, I think that's why, shout out to Dayspring, why Dayspring's YouTube is like taking off like that, because these people, his subs, well, most of them now and then keeping on out, are on his journey with him. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been in the game. They're still kind of part of my journey, but not like him. Like, they saw him start off from a dude that was studying like for A plus and this and that, got an internship, got his first job, got a second job, now is a security engineer, data dog, and doing all this other stuff. That's exciting. Like, they're on that. So I was like, street's waiting on you, because we trying to see, you know, what you got going and what you finna be doing in your career. So I was like, you know, we need that. Like, what? So honestly, what made you want to start the YouTube channel?
Yeah. So basically, when people will ask me, like, what do you do? And I would tell them, like, yeah, I'm in tech. I'm in IT. Like, they would literally just give me, like, a blank stare. Like, because a lot of people don't know, especially in Chicago, like, a lot of people don't know what that is. So, first of all, I want to say, like, on TikTok, every time I see a Black woman or a Black person, a person in tech in general, when they're like, oh, I'm in tech, I'll be so happy, because it's more people out here now to explain what tech is. And I feel like we get more respect now, because I feel like, you know, it's not as popular as like a doctor or a nurse or things like that, you know? So I think part of the reason why I started my YouTube journey is to bring awareness to this career field. A lot of, like I said, a lot of people don't know about it. A lot of people don't understand that we used to code MySpace pages back in the day, and that was HTML, CSS. Like, I feel like that's part of the reason why they took that away from us, because our skills was going to be skyrocketing. But, you know, a lot of people don't understand that. So, you know, that's part of why I, you know, started my journey. And then it was hard for me to kind of find a Black woman in tech as well. So, like, you know, when people go on YouTube and they type in Black woman in tech, I want to be right there. Like, hey, you know, I've probably been where you've been before, or I understand your journey. So I just wanted to get, you know, just my face out there more, as far as like just being in tech and just, like you said, taking people along my journey with me. So that's kind of why I started. And like I said, tell people, especially like young Black people, like we like flashy stuff. We like nice clothes and stuff. But a lot of young Black people are working jobs that's only paying them $15 an hour, $14 an hour and stuff like that. And they're probably doing a lot of tech work, a lot of administrative work that they can transfer into tech skills. So, you know, I want to tell them, like, you know, you can get high paying jobs if you're able to just apply yourself and really just learn. So
yeah, I would definitely agree, but I will say this caveat is, like, a lot of people think they want to be in tech until they realize, like, tech is like this lifelong thing of you have to continuously learn.
Yeah.
And some people are not ready for that part.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm glad you said that, because I was like really doing some self-evaluation, and I'm like, wait a minute. I noticed, like, I'm not good at dancing. Like, I don't have no rhythm. I'm not good at singing. I definitely cannot draw, but I learned that, like, learning is my talent. You know, I feel like I've always been good in school. I've always been good at just learning new concepts and comprehending. So that's why I feel like with me and tech, it was like a match made in heaven, because it is constantly learning. I'm constantly massaging my brain with knowledge and stuff. So,
yeah, I mean, definitely. And I feel you on the representation part. That was the biggest thing. Like, you know, me starting my YouTube and also the podcast. Like, you know, like you said, you type in cybersecurity. Now you see it's a couple of us, like me, Dayspring, Talk Tech with 50. You got my guy Keep It Techie. You got Black Heights. You got what's Cisco Soldier, Uncle Trey. Shout out to him. Kev Tech. Like, I'm forgetting, but it's just different. It's different, you know. You always got the goat, the one on Lightfoot, but just the facts that the people could now just see people that like you and me, like on there talking about stuff. Like what I just dropped on YouTube is like information you really can't get from anybody, but yep. I put it out there. I really don't care about it, because it's honest. Like it's going to be people that say, man, I felt the same way, like in the comments, because I had a friend that started the company not too long ago. He was like seeing some of the same stuff. So that stuff needs to be out there. So, you know, one of the things I found out about companies is like they keep the status quo because nobody's challenging it.
Yeah.
Everybody is, you know, pretty much complacent and just letting them do as they please. I'm like,
putting
not
their
me.
Head down and just obeying.
I've always been a rebel. Even when I worked help desk and I knew we was getting underpaid and we was doing the most work and really gonna, we pretty much helped that contract build the building. Mm-hmm. I was like, fam, all we gotta do is tell them we ain't answering no calls for 30 minutes. We'll get some raises. For real. Cause
did it work? Did
we
it
had, work? No, they were scared. I'm like, we have clearances. They ain't finna fire. They can't just bring people in here and work. We have clearances.
Yeah.
I've always been that type of person. You know, I get it why they want to do it, but they just don't be thinking. I was like, that's why y'all continue getting paid, which I getting paid.
Yeah. No, that's real. At my help desk job, I definitely was underpaid. Like, I was underpaid, and my male coworkers definitely got paid more money than I got paid. So, and that's because I only knew that because they were like transparent with me about their pay. I'm just like, oh, wait a minute.
I guess that's a good thing then.
What?
Because I know dudes like, see, we was on contracts, man. So one of the guys, everybody was getting paid differently because we were on different. Mm-hmm. We was different contractors, but working in the same place. And one dude was getting like, I think he was getting like 40 or 45 an hour just to answer phones. And then even when we got to the phones, he said, man, I don't want to do this. Hit his contractor up and they put him in a different department.
Oh, wow.
I was like, man,
wow.
This man was, he was getting.
He was there for a long, there for a long time.
I think he might still be with the company, but he wasn't. No, we all started at the same time. We was in the same, I think me and him was like in the same training class.
Okay.
But that was pretty cool. So back on the YouTube tip, you know, what's been like some of your struggles with it, I guess. Well, not struggles, but you know, I know personally, like the hardest thing about YouTube, hardest thing about me doing a podcast is consistency, you know, scheduling, time management, like shooting. Like, you know, for me, it used to be hard because like I didn't have my dedicated space. I used to have to wait till the babies were asleep or whatever, because they'd be, you know, going hard or whatever. So it would be like, man, I wouldn't even want to record now, but I have to wait. So a lot of times I was either recording while they were asleep or late at night, just, you know, okay. But it really messes with how consistent you can be. And that's like the number one thing, like when it comes to YouTube. Also, is like, this is my second channel. Like my first channel was like related to boxing, right? Mm-hmm. So I made a lot of mistakes on there. So people can go back to that. You know, if you want to look up Banco, well, it's actually Banco Entertainment now. Shout out to Sir Michael Rock. So please never like try to sue me for using Banco. But if you go back to that, you see how bad it was in the beginning. Like you think this first video on this channel is bad, go to them. And so how it got to, because I was learning, and that's the thing, like, you know, we got to YouTube segment, like if you want to do YouTube, you want to learn, just do it and just research and dedicate time to the craft, because me doing this YouTube has brought me, like I said, other ways of making money outside of this based on what I've learned from YouTube. I'm talking about when I really make videos where I want to grab your attention, where I want to get straight to the point, like structure my videos and all this other stuff, like stuff I learned by getting better on YouTube.
Yeah.
But that's something stupid. I thought it was something important. But about you, like, you know, can we expect, you know, some consistency?
Yeah. So I had to just get into my rhythm of things with, like, YouTube. My first video was still, like, my most popular videos. Like, people are still commenting on that one. They're not even commenting on, like, my last videos, for real. But I think I just had to develop like a rhythm and like a process of like, you know, how I wanted to do my YouTube videos. I know that I hate editing and I'm not good at graphic. So for my last video, I hired a graphic designer. Her name is Imani and she did great. Like she knew exactly what I wanted. I don't know how, but she just did. And then for my video, I hired a YouTube editor off of Fiverr. And he did good at editing my video. He charged about like $150. And she charged about somewhere. Like she did my whole YouTube rebrand though. But I know that I did not want to do that because like I'm not making money from YouTube yet. So it's like I'm using my money like to pay for that stuff. So like that's the only thing that's like kind of getting me as far as like YouTube. And even like with TikToks, I want to start like filming like day in the life TikToks and stuff like that. But it's hard like picking up a camera, like capturing stuff. Like it'll something to happen. I'll be like, dang, I should have recorded that. Like you gotta be like on point with that type of stuff. So it's just learning how to work the camera for real and like capture those moments. And then like knowing what's next to talk about on YouTube too. Like YouTube is much longer. People attention spans are shorter now. Like they like 3 minutes long. So
you gotta do like hand signs and stuff like this.
Yeah.
But honestly but YouTube, the longer the video, the better, because even if you, let's say you made a 50-minute video, but only 1,000 people watched 3 minutes, that's better than you made a 2-minute video and 1,000 people watched 1 minute.
Okay.
So that's what the terms of like long videos is. And your analytics will show you like when people start to check out or whatever.
Yeah.
The goal is really, you want to look at topics, but also just like what's working for you. And how can you make better like videos? I don't really worry about views and stuff. I know like, hey, my content's good, you know, or some videos I may not like. I say, dang it. Like reason why I did a lot more, like people love my reactions. And so I've been doing more reactions, but for whatever reason, my MacBook has been tripping with the software and stuff like that. When I try to do it, like there's a lot of lagging going on. So I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to address that. But it's really just about like the longer you do it, you're going to figure out what works for you. And like the editing thing, I mean, it just depends. Like if you have a script that you write out and you stick to that, then you can just, you know, cut out the parts where you're not talking. And then that should be, you know, suffice. It don't really have to be. I know people who don't do a whole bunch of heavy editing and they got, you know, nice channels. Like,
yeah,
if you want to do it like that. I mean, I wanted to get into editing. I'm not a professional person, but like I edit my stuff. Like sometimes I go in if I have to edit more. I probably trimmed like 2 minutes off the video today and just did some slight stuff in Final Cut Pro. But I just put time to doing that because I was like, you know, it's just to me, I added like a skill in the utility belt. So
yeah.
In case, like eventually one day I won't have time to do it and where I'm making enough money where it's reasonable to say, okay, boom, these are editors, they can do it instead of me coming, you know, out of my pocket for it, you know, because it's YouTube. You just got to wait till the algorithm start algorithm.
I'm not going to lie, though. It feels so good to just pay somebody. And I would literally delegate my life if I could. Like, and that's probably, I am a little bit lazy. I'm not going to lie. So, like, if I could delegate my life, I would. So, it feels good, like, just paying someone. And they're like, oh, yeah, here go your video. Here go your thumbnail. Here's your flyer. But for the sake of, like, being, you know, saving my money and stuff, I definitely should like finish editing. I tried to teach my little sister. I bought her a whole Udemy course on how to edit YouTube videos. I'm trying to tell her like this is going to be a whole career in the future. Like people are trying to be influencers. They're trying to have YouTube videos, TikToks. Like this is a whole career field in itself. Like if she's on YouTube all day studying trends anyway. So I'm just like, learn how to edit my YouTube videos.
And this is the thing, I'm eventually getting to TikTok content. Like, I never really, all you gotta do a lot of time to blow up on TikTok, you can do with the trends and then you can also answer questions.
People love tech content on TikTok. It's not even funny. Like, if you get on TikTok, you will absolutely blow up. Like, people love this type of content,
right? And I'm on there. Like, so what I do now, It's been growing. Like, for me, it's the hashtag thing. I had to figure out how to hashtag just right. Because, like, my Instagram reels do better than my TikToks, and they'd be the same content. And I normally just use clips from here, and I just try to post something good or and something like informational, and people rock with it. But I normally edit my TikToks before I put them on TikTok. So I use like InShot. It's simple. I only would take something that's like a 60 seconds. And now I have this other, like, for me, like, you know, if I get good at doing all this stuff, I can say, hey, man, I can do all that for you. But like, I use a Descript to like throw my clip in the Descript, and then it uses machine learning to, you know, catch the script of everybody talking. And I just changed what they messed up. And now I start throwing it on there as clips. So people can like start reading and stuff, like, because I notice people like reading that.
Yep. Especially on TikTok. Like, if you're in public, you can't really hear stuff. Like, reading is like the best thing to do. So, and I would rather read.
I was going to say YouTube Shorts help too. So I got to start back upload more YouTube Shorts. Like, I was doing a short a day, and like it, like, people start subscribing to you because it's short form content. Then they go see your other content. So that's all I would say. I was just like, you know, whenever you can, you don't have to make thousands of videos. Just focus on making one good video at a time. You know, even if you want to talk about, like, you know, Salesforce or story times. People love story times. Day in the life are always dope. Like, it don't even have to be long. If you did like a 6-minute day in the life, there's tips and tricks. Like, I know my first day in the life, I did it where I just blurred up the screen so people can see the screen. But I mean, that was actually like super simple. Like, I don't know, it really takes taking the time figuring out how to do it. And if you want to, it's, for me, it's like a creative release a little bit. So recording it and then putting it together. I don't care who like it. Like, I just put something.
Yeah. No, someone's going to like it. Definitely. I've seen someone say, like, don't you worry about the engagement that you get. You just worry about putting that content out there. So that's real.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, it's Friday. I ain't trying to hold you in the house, you know, all night. I appreciate you for coming through and stopping by, you know, textual talk. 9 times out of 10, I'll probably bring you back one day, like, for like a live panel. Like, I may have like you, Salesforce, Kim, and I think Rachel's her name. Maybe y'all, you know, be talking about Salesforce like live one day, you know, just let y'all wild out Salesforce.
Definitely.
But, you want to tell the people where they can find you at, where they can follow you at?
Yes, you can find me on all social medias at the Moliverse. You can put the handle down there so they can't. Find me on social media at the Moliverse. That's at THEMALLAH verse, VERSE. And yeah.
All right. And also, what about they want to find information on My Tech Best Friend? Where can they go for that?
MyTechBestFriend.academy.
All right. And, you know, y'all already know how to get in touch with me. Everything is now changed to textual chatter. Who knows? I may change it another day. But appreciate y'all for rocking with me. Make sure y'all go ahead and leave a comment. Leave a rating on the podcast. But, you know, until next time, you know, let's stay textual.